I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. Can't play it, talk it. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention, hotline fans.
Yummy, 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 yummy.
What's the matter?
It smells like a freaking diner in here.
Yeah, my God, I heat up my egg
sandwich. What do you got there? A little Reuben? What do you got?
No.
A little roast beef and Swiss cheese melt?
No, you're an Italian guy. Potatoes and eggs.
Uh-oh.
Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB with your updates.
I might tackle you.
206 Sirius XM, Sirius XM app.
Hold on a second.
What?
Potato and eggs. I'm a gigantic. I grew up on potato and eggs.
Yeah.
People that don't aren't from the New York area, you don't even know what this is. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to school you. You take a little potato, you slice it up, cooked, and you mix it in with a little scrambled eggs.
Yes.
Put a little milk in that thing, you know, mix it up a little bit.
I don't put milk in my scrambled
eggs.
Very little,
not a lot. I don't like it like that. My wife more into doing that. It makes it a little fluffy. And then you put the potato and you eat it.
Yeah. A little ketchup.
I'm eyeballing that sandwich. I put a little Tabasco on that.
Oh,
son of a
gun, that you could go that too. You could go a little hot sauce as well.
Get in my belly.
Very nice. Yes. Made a big batch the other day.
Did you?
My wife loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, big batch. There's only one batch. It's your batch. Anyway, smells unbelievable in the studio.
I'm glad. Well, you just ate your protein pack.
I did. I had a Carmel Apple Whey protein bar.
Nice.
I'm on a lifestyle diet.
Smells great.
I gotta go to the beach.
Smells fantastic.
I gotta have a talk with Pete the Body. I digress. There's problems. Dude, that's why I gotta crack the whip around here.
Stop. What do you mean?
Before we keep talking sports,
you gotta crack the whip on Pete the Body.
Yeah, I have a long talk with him. Well, he's got this. He's getting ready for the whatever.
His wedding.
We have Chef Mike coming in tomorrow.
I know.
That's big.
Chef Mike will be with us tomorrow morning. Chicken fried steak. What's on the menu, Mikey B?
Chicken fried steak, a bunch of sandwiches, fennel Jones, I don't know.
Fennel sausage.
Fennel sausage.
No, fennel sausage gravy. Do you think that will...
Bring your cholesterol up? Yes.
No, travel well.
Yeah, he'll put it in a bucket.
Do you think sausage fennel gravy will travel well
in Mike's car? Yeah, one of those hot, cold thermoses, he puts in the back seat. It's getting a cup holder.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I trust sausage fennel gravy.
You don't think so?
Coming on
travel
over it.
Well.
There are certain foods that'll travel well, and there's certain ones that won't. Like you make a nice hoagie, that'll travel well.
Maybe bring a sandwich for the boss, Eric Spitz. Maybe bring a nice sandwich and a special sandwich for Eric.
We can meet in there.
Eric won't eat it.
Yeah. I love Eric Spitz.
He eats a yogurt every day. Here's the problem with Chef Mike.
He'll jock it off.
Here's the problem with Chef Mike, right, which has become so. Chef Mike comes part and parcel with Taz, right? They're good buddies. And he's been he's fed Taz's staff on the Taz show for years now. And he's been a welcomed addition to the Taz and the Moose show. And Taz is very, very fond of Chef Mike. Now, here's the issue you have is that it became to my awareness now that Chef Mike,
we'll talk sports in a minute.
Well, Chef Mike is not only making food for our program, but he's making a special sandwich for Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So Chef Mike is now using his in here.
The Boomer Esiason.
Right. On the Taz and Moose show through Taz. And Chef Mike is a wonderful cook.
Yeah, he's
fine. To now try and make inroads to the Boomer and Geo show.
It kind of feels like he's being disloyal to our show.
Yeah.
I did not get clearance on this. Boomer Esiason is my friend. He's your friend.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason.
And the last thing that show needs, Boomer and Geo, is more free food. Because Lord knows they get hooked up.
Now, someone needs to inform Chef Mike about this. Mm. Number, the issue with his plan is this. Boomer's not going to be here tomorrow.
You know what I'm saying?
That. You should have said it, and he just give the sandwich to Eric Spitz.
Well, I mean that's the problem when you said that. I was when Mikey B brought it to our attention. I thought, well, They're going to be down in Jersey to kick off the holiday weekend. They're doing a show from a bar on the Jersey Shore.
A Bar A?
No, not Bar A.
That's the wrestler Bar A.
No.
No, I did. I'm not kidding.
I believe you. I believe you.
But the Francesa,
they used to have the joust at Bar A.
Yeah, I know.
They used to do that drunk. It was fun. Anyway, so... Yeah, that's exactly right. So here, so is he going to now drive the sandwich down to the establishment on the Jersey Shore to deliver it to Boomer Esiason, or is the sandwich going to sit in Boomer's fridge for 2.5 days upon his arrival Monday morning?
Well, Boomer has a gigantic office here at the station, so he probably has a full kitchen in his office, Boomer. He could keep it in the oven.
There's multiple fridges.
Yeah, there really is multiple fridges.
There are, yeah. Multiple fridges.
Yeah. All right, well, maybe Chef Mike won't show up tomorrow now, and he'll go to Jersey to the Boomer and Geo show.
It's a possibility.
That could happen.
So we might not get fed.
That's true.
Will you have the sausage fennel gravy?
Yeah, negative. No, because that I won't. I will want it, but I will take some home with. It's a little early in the morning. I'll have some chicken fried steak. But I don't know if I have the sausage fennel gravy.
You're going to take the sausage fennel gravy
home,
and
I'll put it in a cup.
No, upon his traveling it here, then you're going to transport it in a Dixie cup and have it travel in your car to bring it home?
Throw two ice cubes in it, it's fine.
It's disgusting, dude. Come on. You can't do that. That's gross, dude. I would never eat. You can't eat that. All due respect, Chef Mike. It's one thing for one travel. You can't do two travels.
Too much heavy cream and delay.
You can't do that, dude. I mean, honestly, Taz, come on.
Blow out a yucca
flats. Save your stomach, all right? Yeah. Honestly. I mean, God bless your wife. Your son.
Yeah.
Honestly, they might be leaving the house for the day.
He's been home from college. I haven't seen him in 2 weeks. The kid's gone all the time.
Yeah, he's a young man. He's enjoying his life. That's really what it is about being young.
He's
all right. Rajah Bell is going to join us coming up in less than 20 minutes, right around 8:25 a.m. Eastern time. That's 5:25 a.m. Pacific. He will be joining us. So about 18 minutes away, and that works in any time zone. So 96-83, the final last night up in Beantown as the Celtics knocked off the Cavaliers by 13 points last night. And for a Boston team who got an uptick in performance by Jason Tatum, right, where drops in 24 points, had yet to score 20 or more points at any point in this series, picked a great night to do it last night, Taz, up in Beantown, as he drops in 24. Not a great offensive night for Jaylen Brown, not a great offensive night for Terry Rozier III as well. But for a Boston team that just shot 36% from the floor, still found a way to win. Why did they do that? Because they defended, and also they did not turn the basketball over. And the Cavaliers did not have a good offensive night either. It's not like their defense was atrocious, did not shoot the ball that well, but turned the basketball over, I think, to the tune of 18 times last night as well. So now a series in which you haven't had one great game. You've had great individual performances, great team performances, but you've had one blowout after another, another double-digit victory. All three Boston victories this series have come at home. They're 10-0 now at home in the postseason. They've all come by double digits. The Cavaliers' victories have all come by double digits. So this has become part and parcel with the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said. I mean, yeah, the Celtics, they got a chance to end this thing and close out the Cavs. I hope and think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it, but they're going to have to do it. Which is tough for them on the road, right? Because the next game they're in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, right? Game six,
and it's been a long grind for all four of these teams in the in the end deal here of the postseason. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I think the Celtics can do it. I mean, look, LeBron a little tired yesterday. That's well documented. He played a lot of minutes. He played good, but I do think he will bounce back. You know he does, and just like the Celtics play awesome at home, so do the Cavs at home. It's gonna make for a really, really good game. So we shall see what happens. But I don't know. I got a funny feeling if it gets to, what did we say? Did we say it's gonna get to a game seven?
I probably would say it does get to a game seven.
So
I
would think would Cleveland, Sunday. I think. Right?
Yeah, I think Cleveland would win. I think Cleveland's going to win game six Friday night.
Rubber match Jones on Sunday.
On Sunday, right. Mm. And so that's where you look at LeBron's effort level last night. Not saying he gave great effort. Energy level really wasn't there. Ty Lue brought up fatigue.
Ty Lue's got to play Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver. We'll get to that here momentarily. But,
sorry.
You know, you look at, no, to the James point you mentioned in terms of him being a little tired. Maybe he was saving up energy for Game 6 Friday night, Taz. I don't know. Maybe he realized it was not going to be a Cavalier night. He did not look like the typical LeBron James. Now, he did give you, you know, a double-double in terms of rebounds and points, and did give you 26 points on the night, but was not a superhuman LeBron James last night.
No, he wasn't. And the guys around him, his supporting cast, they weren't either for sure. And he didn't get that help from guys like Love or J.R. Smith or Hill. You know, Thompson. You know, Thompson had 1 point.
Yeah,
I mean, like, what is that?
No, right. And if you're not, and you're going to get those guys better performances from those secondary guys at home as compared to on the road. And then you mentioned it. Let's play the cut from Ty Lue.
Okay.
On why, you know, Korver did not play last night. Let's take a listen.
Rotation seemed a little jumbled. Kyle didn't play in the first quarter, and Kevin and LeBron on the bench to start the fourth. Did something get out of whack for you, or is that the way you wanted it to go?
Well, initially he's been putting Olajay in, so that's been kind of Kyle's matchup when he comes in the game. Oh. But he didn't play him tonight, so, you know, it kind of, you know, threw us for a loop. But we got Bron out with 2.5 minutes, and at the start of the fourth, he wasn't ready to go. So, you know, same thing happened game, I think, one or two. I can't remember.
Be a leader,
I mean,
coach.
Think about that. Semi Ojeleye, second-year player, or I should say rookie, coming out of SMU, right? Ty Lue basically admitted last night after the game that Brad Stevens dictated. Not only did Brad Stevens coach the Boston Celtics, but also Brad Stevens dictated the rotation of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And once Ojeleye did not play last night for the Boston Celtics, the Cavalier coaching staff had a difficult time.
He said it threw him for a loop.
Being able to
it threw him for a loop.
Being able to adjust. Being able to adjust to the fact that Ojeleye was not playing, and that's why Korver did not play. In the
hey, Ty Lue, next time, just ask LeBron what to do. He'll tell you, bro.
I mean, think about that. Think about that. LeBron. You're an NBA head coach. What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. You got to – listen, I understand matchups, and especially in a sport like basketball, matchups are vital. I get it. But this Kyle Korver is a player, man. He scored a bunch of points the other night for them. Whatever, like 14, 15 points. He played really well.
Yeah, played really well.
You know, and he was a difference maker for sure. He's got to be in that game. Especially if your key veteran, your key superstar, the greatest player in the world is not playing, you know, with a full load of energy. And he looked tired on the bench, wiped his face with napkins, LeBron James. And J.R. Smith and these other guys aren't going crazy on the court playing great. You gotta get Korver in the game.
Yeah, no question about it. And they did not. And the Celtics do what they do at home in the postseason. That is win. 96-83, the final. They're now 10-0 at home during the postseason and lead the series 3-2. But I think we're in agreement, Taz. We're going to see a seventh game in the series, correct?
Turn my mic up, please. Yes, we are. Yes.
All right, we got a game 5 tonight in Houston. And we're going to get the thoughts of Rajah Bell. Cannell and Bell podcast are going to join us here in about 10 minutes from now at 8:25 a.m. And, Taz, tonight you get a big Game 5 down in Houston. Rockets with a gut check. Fantastic victory Game 4 in Golden State. Trailing by double digits going into the fourth. They outscore them, double them up in the fourth quarter. Hold, I believe, the Warriors to, what was it, 14 or 12 points in that fourth quarter. And they hold on for the 95-92 victory to even up the series at 2 games apiece. Iguodala questionable tonight.
Mm.
Klay Thompson questionable tonight with the knee strain. The Golden State Warriors not exactly healthy right now. What do you expect tonight down in Houston?
I got to tell you, I'm going to put it out there. I do think the Rockets win the game with Harden at the helm. I think he's going to have a great night tonight.
Houston, a 1-point favorite. Yeah. You like the Rockets to win tonight?
Because they're banged up. The Warriors are banged up. Yeah. Since what I book on the fly.
Yeah.
I spitball.
No, I got you.
I don't just sneaky. I don't plan it.
No, sneaky suspicion. I have a tendency to agree with you. I think the Rockets find a way to win tonight. I do. And which would put all the pressure in the world. D'Antoni talked about pressure on Golden State going into game 4 when it was a 2-1 Warriors lead. And we scoffed at it. If the Warriors are down 3-2 going back home, all the pressure in the world will be on Golden State. And now we know they're not 100% healthy. Mikey B, who do you like tonight? Houston or Golden State?
The Savant.
I've been terrible with this. I like the Rockets to win tonight.
All right, and to the man who made the greatest prediction ever on the Taz and the Moose show, Pete the Body, who do you like tonight?
I'll tell you. Go ahead, Pete.
The greatest. I made the right pick yesterday, too.
You did?
I'm picking the Rockets.
Rockets, we're all in agreement.
See, I'm switching over.
So, see, no, he usually goes against what everybody else says, but now
Mikey B has now changed.
Yeah, there's something in my stomach. The Warriors figured out. They're too good.
So now you think the Warriors are
Do you think Thompson and Iguodala both play tonight?
Yeah, Thompson's playing tonight. Iggy, I don't think, is.
Okay, so no so Iguodala, but Iggy, Clay Thompson.
You call him by his nickname because you're in the locker room. You're one of the players
now? No, I was just scared that I wasn't going to be able to say his name correctly.
Iggy. Iguodala.
Can't you see?
Yeah, see?
Like that.
That's why we call him Iggy.
That's why we went with Iggy.
I said Iguodala, and Moose looked at me like, what?
Rajah Bell, Cannell and Bell podcast is going to join us straight ahead. We'll talk to him about what he expects tonight, Game 5 down in Houston, reaction to the Game 5 victory last night up in Boston as the Celtics now lead that series 3-2. We'll get an AB update as well. Leftovers coming up later on this hour as we roll right along. Action-packed Thursday morning program. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. We'll chat with Rajah Bell, 12-year NBA veteran here. Coming up momentarily, AB is in the house, third and final time on our program. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, good morning. This report is brought to you by Control GX. Control GX from Just for Men is smart enough to gradually reduce gray hair with every shampoo. Use it until you like what you see. Learn more about the men's hair care product of the year at ControlGX.com. Another veteran-like playoff performance from Celtics rookie Jason Tatum.
Marcus Morris steps around Jose Calderon, flips it out towards Yabusele. Shot clock winding down, kick out. How fitting would this be if Tatum can finish with a splash? And he does.
Ooh. Cedric Maxwell, Sean Grandy, Celtics Radio. 24 points from Tatum, his ninth time in the 20s this postseason, leading Boston to a 96-83 victory and a 3-2 lead on the Cavaliers.
Sean Grandy. Just had him on the other day. He was just on the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show. Yeah, that's right. We just had him on. He's a great guy. I love that guy. He loves me, too. And begin.
LeBron James scored 26, but only two of them came in the fourth quarter. He got 14 points of support from Kevin Love, but no other Cav reached double figures. LeBron assumes that'll change tomorrow night in Game 6.
Going back home, we have a comfort level, and a lot of our guys have a comfort level of being back home and playing off the fans and playing off our crowd, playing off that court.
The home team has won every game so far in this series. Someone takes a 3-2 lead tonight in Houston. Game 5 for the Rockets and Warriors at 9 Eastern. Pelicans forward Anthony Davis and Utah center Rudy Gobert headline the NBA's all-defensive team. Victor Oladipo, Drew Holiday, and Robert Covington round out the first team. It's the Washington Capitals that joined the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final. They took Game 7 in Tampa last night 4-0. The championship round begins Monday night on the Strip. The Shohei Ohtani Show debuted in Canada last night.
Here's the next one on Ohtani, and he breaks his bat and pops one that's going to drop into center. One run is going to score. Upton is coming home. He will score, and Ohtani has just tied up the ball game and runners at the corners.
That's Terry Smith on Angels Radio. Ohtani, the tying two-run single in the ninth. Angelton Simmons followed with his own two-run single, and the Halos beat the Jays 5-4. The Rangers outscored the Yankees 12-10. Seattle a 1-0 win in Oakland. And the Dodgers shut out the Rockies 3-0. And Johnny Manziel's new coach in Canada, June Jones, said yesterday he assumes Manziel will be the backup QB for the coming season. Former Oregon and Ole Miss QB Jeremiah Masoli is Hamilton's starter. Guys?
All right. Thank you, AB. Appreciate that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, your number to call on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Let's hit the guest line, Taz, shall we? Let's welcome aboard Rajah Bell, 12-year NBA veteran, really good player. Now, Cannell and Bell podcast, uber successful, does a fantastic job there. Hey, Rajah, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, you got it. Let's start here with what we witnessed last night. What do you, the the play of LeBron last night, Raja, what did you read? Everyone's going to look at him being tired, worn down, fatigued, however you describe it. What was your take on what we saw from James last night up in Beantown?
You can make a case for him being tired. He's had to do a lot of heavy lifting this offseason, more so than he's done in a while. I think if I'm reading it, I think he was conserving his energy more so than being tired. He has to know at this point that with that supporting cast on the road in Boston, just having won two in a row, that the odds are heavily stacked against them. Coming out early, it didn't look like his team had the chops to go in there and win. And so, you know, a guy at that age, he's fully aware of the fact that he doesn't have the best legs on one night's rest, and he's going to have to do that twice now. So I saw at some point in the game it looked like LeBron made the conscious decision to not chase the game, if you will. I'm sure if it was within striking distance and they could win it, he was going to go after it. But I think he realized that he wasn't getting the support that he needed.
So, Roger, let's talk about Jason Tatum, man, how he's just just evolved here in these playoffs, how he's almost kind of just maturing in front of in front of our eyes, right? As guys and girls that are watching the game, break him down, man. Talk about Jason Tatum. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I really loved Jason Tatum in the draft. I thought that he was the number one pick last year. I kind of got laughed at it with the show I was on at the time because of it, but only because his skill set is so well-rounded. I mean, he's a perimeter 6'8 guy who can score on three levels. I mean, he's got a nice pull-up game. He can get you moving off the bounce. He's got a real bag, if you will, in terms of what he can do with his moves. It gets you back up, and then he can get up in the air vertically for the jump shot. He's also a very proficient three-point shooter, which you have to be. And that kind of draws the defender out to you and allows you to use that bounce a little bit. And then, you know, at his size and his frame coming in as a freshman, you don't see guys that finish around the rim with the type of, like, ferociousness that he does, but he's a finisher. So when he gets you to the cup, I mean, he likes to pipe it. Like, he doesn't go in there to lay it up soft. He takes it to the rack hard. He's going through chest. So I really like all the skill set in and of itself is really, really diversified and well-rounded for the NBA. But the mentality on top of it, where he's just out for bodies. Like, he's not the type of guy that's trying to fit in and figure out his way around the locker room, or, you know, he's a good teammate, don't get me wrong, but he's there to put his wares on display, and he's there to win games. And so that type of mentality, when you're not afraid of the moment, you're not afraid of the shot, even though you're a rook, you're not afraid to put the team on your back at times and carry them. You couple that with the skill set, and he's a problem.
I'm curious, when you look at it, Raja, the amount of credit that Brad Stevens has gotten up in Beantown for the job that he has done, has it been too much?
I don't think it's been too much. I mean, the jury's still out on Brad in terms of, you know, we judge, you know, legacies, coaching, and players in terms of championships. I do think Brad is one of the best coaches in the NBA right now. You know, X's and O's, we could go through those, you know, and debate what you know, who's got better X's and O's. But when I watch his team and I watch how engaged they are, and I watch how, I forget the stat right now, but I think they led the NBA in, like, double-digit comebacks this year. I mean, that means they don't quit, right? That's not the type of team that folds. And in today's NBA, you see a lot of guys – where a lot of teams quit. I mean, you win or you lose by 30, it seems like, every night. Those teams don't quit. They've been through, you know, the whole emotional roller coaster ride of Gordon Hayward being injured in the first couple minutes of the season. They exceeded expectations, and Kyrie goes down before the playoffs. Again, any other team without a megastar would have maybe folded 10. He gets guys to buy in to what he's preaching and the way they have to win, despite who he's got on the court. And then I got to give a lot of credit to his staff, because what they do is, not only does Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, they don't seem to always get it right. I mean, in the draft, they do get it right in the draft, but then they get these kids and they develop the heck out of them. So no matter who he plugs in there, you know, these guys are able to go out there and do a good enough job to be winning in the Eastern Conference Championship Series right now. And so I give Brad Stevens a ton of credit. The jury would still be out because he's relatively young as a coach, but I think he's one of the best coaches in the game right now.
Well, yeah, no argument for me on that. Moose, we talk about that a lot with Stevens. He's a great communicator, a great coach. Now, speaking of coaches, sticking to that, man, hey, what about Ty Lue last night? I mean, we were talking earlier, Moose and I, about the whole Kyle Korver deal where, you know, we felt like Ty Lue's got to get this guy more minutes. He was more concerned with the matchup, though.
Yeah, that was interesting. I watched Kyle. Kyle had a good, I guess, game three and a good enough game four. And I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, he didn't play in the first quarter. I don't think he brought him in until the second quarter of the game. You know, sometimes as a coach, you could get wrapped up in and overthink things. Like, on the road in Boston, you've had very few guys in that series who have made shots. Kyle Korver, if nothing else, is a shot maker. And he showed a grit to him defensively that I haven't seen in a while in Cleveland. And so I agree. I thought he should have been on the court. Even if it didn't work, you throw him out there and you see what it looks like, right? He's one of the guys who's helped you make shots, space the floor, and get LeBron some avenues to the basket. You had Kevin Love already making shots at the first quarter. So putting another guy out there that could space the floor, maybe you got LeBron sledding downhill and he got engaged with the game and it could have been a different outcome. But, you know, coaching is specifically there in Cleveland because you are held accountable by a lot of people. I mean, not just the staff, but ownership is heavily involved. LeBron and his camp are heavily involved. And Ty Lue came out and said it a few years ago about that being a very, very difficult job. And he kind of got, you know, he kind of got laughed at because he had LeBron and Kyrie. But that is a very, very tough job. I was with the Cavs for a year in their front office. He does a good job, but that is a very hard job.
We're talking to Rajah Bell, 12-year NBA vet, and now Cannell and Bell podcast does a great job. Rajah, is this, before we move out west, you got a big game five down in Houston tonight. Eastern Conference, is this a seven-game series?
Yeah, I believe it's a seven-game series, but I, you know, for it to be an entertaining seven-game series, they've really got to figure out how they can manage LeBron in game six. And that's going to be predicated on what you get from the role players at home. They've been night and day in Cleveland and in Boston, but I say that to say that now it's a one-day rest series the rest of the way. So you're not going to be able to get LeBron 2 days rest. You got to figure out how you can manage him in game six at home to where it feels like he's going to get 2 days rest. He cannot roll out there and play 45, 46 minutes and have to do all the heavy lifting, or he's going to be shot for game seven.
Rajah, Taz and I, we've discussed it because we've been frustrated. We both like the NBA, obviously, both huge fans of the playoffs, great teams, great players. Games have been terrible, Rajah. I mean, they've been, a lot of these games have been non-competitive. We've had really one great game, and that was the last game, game four out west. Why do you think these games have been one blowout, double-digit victory after another?
Well, I mean, it's a tough question. I think it's twofold. The three-point shot and the reliance on it makes for big, huge swings and score. So if you're making threes and the other team's not making threes, I mean, you're not adding two every time, you're adding three. And so just simple multiplication means it's going to be a bigger gap. And so there's some of that going on. And then I think you see teams, you know, like the LeBron, I think people start to realize now with that one day's rest, chasing games that are out of hand sometimes aren't worth it. And it's kind of like it's like what we started to see with Pop. You know, I think Pop and the Spurs were on the forefront of the trend of, like, resting guys during the regular season, not chasing, you know, wins during the regular season. You know, this is a conspiracy. I don't know this to be a fact. But it looks to me at times that when these games are getting out of hand, guys that are a little longer in the tooth that understand that this could be a seven-game series, they don't chase it the same way that a younger Boston team could chase it. The Boston team can afford to chase it. Those guys, there's not going to be a lingering effect from game six to game seven. Those legs are fresh. They've only played 3 years in the NBA. Like, they haven't played through June for the last decade. You know, those things change when you get older. And so I see guys starting to shut it down a little earlier and preparing for the next game.
Hey, so, Ross, let me ask you, man. Did James Harden, did he turn the corner with his game four performance? What do you think?
I hope he did. I mean, that would make for a really good series out west, too. There was one play in that game. It was early in game three, in game four, and Reggie Miller even said it on the broadcast. James Harden had towed up a three. He was on the break. He was wide open. It was a three-on-one, and he swung it across court. I mean, there was no reason in the world he shouldn't have shot that.
I ripped him for that. Yeah, I thought he froze. I don't know. Why did he do that?
He did. He looked like a robot. Everything just shut down for a second. And right there, I was like, this could be a problem. Like, that could be the moment that reverts him back to what was happening before. But he overcame it, and he had a really good game. I don't think they played great offensively, but, you know, here's what I'll say to that. James Harden is the best. He is one of the two best one-on-one players or three best one-on-one players in the world. Kevin Durant happens to be one of the other ones. If Golden State allows themselves to fall into the the rhythm of playing one-on-one because they have really good one-on-one players in Durant and Steph Curry. I don't believe Klay to be a great one-on-one guy, but they've got two that can do it with the best of them. You're not going to be Houston doing that. There's a fine line between what Golden State really loves to do, which is move that ball, move people, and then get into a quick one-on-one, and what Houston does, which is straight iso ball. And I feel like Golden State at times falls into Houston lulls them into playing the way Houston wants to play.
Yeah, and they can't do that. I mean, because if Houston can't play Golden State style and Golden State can't be iso ball, because you're right, sharing the basketball, Raja. So that leads you – I mean, that is a huge – I think a lot of people were stunned by the comeback victory of Houston in Game 4, especially after what you saw from Steph in the third quarter, and they got a doubled up 34-17 in that Game 4 to have the rally that they did on the road in Golden State, who had won 16 straight home games. What do we expect tonight, and how does the rest of the series play out?
Yeah, if you're a Houston fan, you got to win this game. Like, you cannot afford to go down 2-3 and then go back to Oracle. I would expect tonight, I think Houston wins tonight. I picked Houston to win the series, partly because I'm a Mike D'Antoni guy, but I felt like when I was with the Suns, for instance, and forgive me because I'm going to get off track, but when I was with the Suns, we always felt like, yes, we wanted to push and turn the game into an up-tempo game, and most people wanted to slow us down. But naturally, people want to run. They want to get up and down. So it was going to be easier for us to lull you into the type of game that we wanted to play. And I kind of feel the same way about Mike's Houston team. Because Golden State has enough high-level guys to play one-on-one, and you can get Kevin Durant scoring 38 whenever he wants, he's going to fall into playing one-on-one sometimes, unless someone there can communicate and they can stick to game plan. I think it's easier for them to fall into the way Houston wants to play. I think tonight will be another good game. I think that Houston will have role players. That P.J. Tucker played great last game, although he didn't score. I thought Eric Gordon was okay, but he only had 14. They didn't shoot the ball particularly well from the three-point line, and they still found a way to win in Golden State. A team that's that good offensively, I think they bounce back at home. Golden State will play better as well. I think Houston is going to have a really, really good offense performance at home tonight.
So you would have it, Houston wins tonight, Golden State wins game 6 at home, and then we're coming back to Houston for a game 7, right?
And then we're coming back to Houston for a game 7. And if I were a betting man, this would not be with my heart. This would just be, like, if I had to bet it, I would say that Golden State pulls it out just because of the experience. That's another hurdle that I imagine James Harden and Chris Paul will have to clear mentally.
You know, Raja, we appreciate all the time this morning. We'll close it out here. It's a little bit about the NBA, but overall, because we've chatted a lot this morning about I'm sure you've discussed it as well, the NFL and their national anthem policy. We talked about with callers earlier, and we had a couple of callers bring up, the NBA has handled it properly. Why do you think there's such the difference between the NBA Adam Silver and certainly handling players' protests and trying to bring about social change and activism as compared to the National Football League?
It's an interesting question. I think the NBA, the NBA has been less of an iron fist type of league than the NFL has been. I mean, you have, all the way from the very nature of contracts, being very player friendly and being guaranteed. In the NFL, you're basically fighting for your life every minute. So you're used to kind of being dictated to, I imagine, in the NFL. In the NBA, it's just been more of a two-way street, even as far back as David Stern. More so, I believe, now with Adam Silver, though, there's a line of communication. Like, there's a channel of communication between the players and the league offices, and there's a mutual, there's a mutual benefit to them coming up.
The players like Silver, and the NFL players can't stand Goodell.
Correct. And so when you've got people that like each other and they understand that a win for everybody helps us all, they figure it out a little bit better. And I never played in the NFL. I love the NBA. I think the NBA is more progressive in terms of its thinking and connecting with today's generations. And so I think the NBA tends to get it right a little bit more often with things like that than the NFL.
Raja Bell, 12-year NBA vet. Check him out. Cannell and Bell podcast does a great job. Hey, Raja, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do, and hopefully we'll get to do it again real soon.
Thanks for having me, folks.
Thanks,
you got it. Does a great job. He really does. So yeah. he likes You know, he said it'll be interesting. You know, he said Cleveland needs to win game six, but you can't squeeze the lemon with LeBron because he's got to have some life left in those legs for a game seven up in Beantown. So he can't log 43, 44 minutes right in game six on Friday night.
Listen, Moose, right now as we do our great program, LeBron James is laying in a tube in his den.
Probably right.
That is percolating hot olive oil through his calves, hamstrings, and quadriceps.
And Taz's alarm is going off.
That's not true. And yes, thank you. You S.O.B. I'm like, what is that noise?
I'm like, Taz's alarm is going.
What was that?
It goes off every day at 8:40 a.m. Eastern, 5:40 a.m. Pacific.
If he sees it, he says it.
Every day that Taz's alarm goes off, you know what that alarm signifies? Pay the meter.
If the moose sees it, if the moose sees it or hears it, he says it.
Yeah. Taz, it was great.
It's the truth. It don't matter. Rob a bank with the moose.
No. What do you mean? It's your phone alarm. I'm glad it wasn't the blaring one.
It's supposed to go off during the break. We're late to break.
I understand that. It's all good. It's funny. It was all good.
Yeah.
Taz and the Moose with you. Come back. We've got some leftovers for you right here. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rolling right along on an action-packed Thursday morning.
Sorry. I had a little
I got you.
I had some of the whey protein. That's why sometimes I cough because it gets caught in my esophagus.
Yeah, just making sure you're A-okay.
No, I'm all right. But I had my microphone off.
Yeah.
Pete, was my mic on?
No.
Wasn't my mic off, right?
Your mic was off, but you could still hear. It was so loud.
How? My microphone's off. How could you hear it?
Because Moose has his mic on, and because it's really loud, it goes to his microphone.
That's why Mikey B is the producer.
He's a genius.
There it is right there.
Let's get to it. Leftovers.
Yep. New house.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All that money your parents spent on that Syracuse fancy education, Mike. Would you have a scholarship or would you do that?
No, I did not.
All right, what's up?
I had loans, which are so much fun to pay.
Yeah.
Misery.
Aaron Rodgers, he's the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Before him and Danica became, you know, more than just friends, he apparently gave her his email the first time they met and not his cell phone.
Wait a second.
A little odd.
Wait, he meets the girl. She's running.
It's Danica Patrick. It's not like he.
She's a NASCAR. She drives the car.
Right. She's going to be driving in the Indy 500 final race this weekend. At an Indianapolis Memorial Day weekend on Sunday.
All right, so, yeah, you don't give your email to a girl. Yeah, you know, don't eyeball me, Pete. I'm sorry. I'm airing my laundry here. But, Mike, to answer this, to take care of this whole thing for the leftovers, no, you do not give a female, if you're trying to date her, your email. The hell is that? You give her your phone number.
Well, yeah, I don't.
What?
Plus, here's the other thing, is it's Danica Patrick.
So,
she's another star.
Give her your phone number. She's not a mark.
I mean, you give someone a jabroni email if you have no interest in chatting with them again. Nice. Who sends honestly?
Use of the word jabroni.
Yeah, right. So nobody in today's day and age, it's texting.
You text.
Give the cell phone.
Give the girl yourself.
The idea of Danica, I'd like to see you again. By the way, my email is
Aaron12.
No. My email is hotrod12 at gmail.com.
At packers.com.
Right. Make sure you include something in the subject line or else I don't respond.
No, it's worse than that.
I mean, come on. If
Aaron Rodgers, worse than that would have been, he was saying, hey, Danica, you know, I think you're really a pretty girl and you drive fast. You know what? Follow me on Twitter, and I'll follow you back, and then we could direct message each other. That would have been worse than the email. Next!
Here's a topic you guys have never talked about. How about Aaron Judge says he will not participate in the Home Run Derby this year?
Oh, this is a hot-button topic for me and you.
I think it's fair. Why?
No, don't ignore history. Tell people what happened on the Taz Show. You were a guest. Tell people what happened.
Last year, right, he was in the home run derby. After the home run derby, you said he would struggle. He came out. He struggled.
That's it. Just like that.
60 games. Oh, I think he hit a buck 80.
Hot shot.
Strikeouts. You, and you predicted that he would struggle.
That's right. You came on my show. And you ripped me and said, you're out of your mind.
I did say you were out of your mind. Right. And then in the month of September, he had 17 home runs.
But
he finished with 52 home runs on the year.
He struggled for
months. He did. You're right. He did. You were right. I give you credit when credit's due.
People would tweet me like, Taz, you were right.
But can I ask you a question? How come anytime the name Aaron Judge comes up,
I think of you?
We always have to go back to this appearance on the Taz show from almost 10 months ago.
I know.
Every time that I need to give you credit for pointing out that he would struggle.
Because
every time.
You were indignant.
I've given you. No, no. At the time, I fought back. Now I give you credit.
You beat me up.
I said you were insane.
You said, oh, what are you talking about? Stick the headlocks.
Right.
All right, you were ripping me.
I said, stick the
front face locks. You don't know nothing, you dumb wrestler.
Blood
show. That's what I said.
You didn't say that, but you know what I mean. You kind of ripped me.
Right.
Sitting on loudmouths getting makeup.
No, somebody, Jabroni Jones just sent me a text. A tweet saying, I knew you were a fraud. Hashtag we over.
By the way, who was the name you said yesterday? And there really was
Popeye Jones.
Popeye Jones.
Yeah, there is a real Popeye Jones.
He played for who? Lee Mean had a video.
Yeah, he played in the NBA. His son.
Did you know that?
I did, yeah.
You didn't know that.
I knew it. Do you know his son? Whose son is?
Oh, is it Pluto?
No, his son is Seth Jones. He's a defenseman in the National Hockey League.
Really?
Yeah,
Seth Jones. That's what I used to call
my producer. Seth Jones was a top five draft. I think he was drafted second or third overall in the NHL draft. It's got to be about 5 years ago now.
Really? Mikey B. Jones.
Yeah, but think about that. Board. Right.
Seth Jones.
Seth Jones. I think he plays for Columbus, I believe. Columbus Blue Jackets.
Blue Jacket City, huh?
I got to look that up.
Well, just give a second, folks. We're going to look that up right now. Hold on.
No. All right, next.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
There you go.
Seth Jones.
Thanks, Mike.
Alex Ovechkin touched the Prince of Wales Trophy yesterday.
He touched the what?
The Prince of Wales Trophy yesterday. Is that bad luck?
Usually the protocol is you don't touch Western or Eastern Conference trophies.
Ovechkin don't care. He that guy's fearless.
Well, but the Vegas Golden Knights touched the trophy as well after they won the West. So Ovechkin is saying, screw it, I've waited long enough, I'm going to touch the Prince of Wales Trophy.
I love Ovechkin. You know what, he can do whatever
he wants. How about
that
rocket shot last night?
He just took the Tampa Bay audience right out of the game.
But he basically took 15 years of frustration out on that puck. It was an absolute laser.
You know what you call that? Slap Shot Jones. Yes. That's what that's called. Seth Jones would know that. Next!
Popeye Jones. They'd all know it.
What's the score tonight in the game? Oh, NBA.
Come on now. He's supposed to be a savant. He's asking us.
Mr. Taz.
Rockets win by 6.
I'll say 103-96 Rockets.
What's the math?
7.
So you had to be different. Mikey B, come on. That's the setup question because he wants us to
Mikey
ask
Mikey B's picking Golden State, right?
Oh, that's what he said, yeah.
Kevin Durant, game winner. Time expires.
Good game?
Game winner, yes.
Good game.
It will happen.
Pete the Body, who's now 2 in a row. If you've been playing along at home, you've been profitable with Pete the Body. Who do you like tonight?
Houston by 5.
You say 5, I say 6. Moose says 7. Golden State Warriors by Mikey B.
Right.
Okay.
Mikey B going against the grain.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Pete the Body, pick Houston.
We got to go,
Moose. I'm not going with Houston.
We got to go.
We're done.
Thank you.
I look forward to the chicken fried steak tomorrow, Chef Mike.
Friday Jones.
Yes. Nothing like to start off a holiday weekend with some gravy and steak.
Fennel sausage gravy.
Peace.
Line 2.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Thanks very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.